This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here. We are covering lots of different topics of interest around the Umpqua Valley. Wanted to get an update on the Dixon Fire. To begin, in just a few minutes, we will switch gears and talk with 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle, who is in town on Thursday. That's coming up in a few minutes. But first, Kent Romney back on with us. Kent, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you today.
So talk about the Dixon Fire. And first of all, of course, when the thunderstorms were forecast and then when they hit in the region on Saturday, a lot of folks were concerned about what this might do to the fire situation. I've checked with the other complexes and that seems to have gone pretty well. What about the Dixon Fire? What was its impact from the thunderstorms?
The thunderstorm, when it came through this past weekend, it was did create a lot of concern and excitement with the firefighters, the team there, and on the fire in the community surrounding. We did get hit with a bit of rain, on average about a half an inch of rain throughout the fire, which did help a lot in cooling those hot spots. We did get quite a bit of lightning through the area. The other evening, some of our crews assisted in putting out three fires caused by lightning strikes. So all in all, we got through it pretty well. The winds were not as high as forecast for us, fortunately. All the lines have held. There was no fire growth. So we're really pleased with the outcome.
And what was it like to be in a rural area like this when all of that is happening, when the storm came through? What was it like there in the camp?
Well, given the mountainous area, the steep canyons and whatnot, we had limited vision of what was going on, but the lightning was there, quite apparent, bright flashes, and that loud booming sound that echoed through the canyons. We were a little anxious, and we just held in there, and like everyone else in the community, and things turned out pretty well.
Now, and you're largely, I mean, yeah, there's some buildings there, but you're largely in tents, correct?
The majority of the personnel there are in tents. We do have a few buildings and trailers that we can shelter in, but lots of tall trees in that area. So there's always that concern, that safety concern about lightning. Fortunately, there weren't any direct strikes in or at the camp.
And while most folks listening stayed inside during the storms, if it passed through their area, you essentially are hearing a lot more of it out there. So that's interesting to hear. Talk about, now that we're at this point, where are we at on containment of the Dixon Fire now?
Right now, our containment as of this morning is at 47%. That's quite a jump since we last spoke. The crews are working really hard, patrolling and mopping up around the perimeter of the fire. They're doing right now, it's called in the mop-up process, we do gridding, where they virtually go elbow to elbow, starting at the outer perimeter of the fire and work their way in to create a depth of that cold black area until we get to a point where the fire is cold on that perimeter and no foreseeable condition, winds, storms, whatever, could potentially cause a flare-up and push that fire outside of the perimeter. So the crews continue to work really hard, and we're hoping that by midweek they will be wrapped up with the mop-up, and the control lines will be around the entire perimeter of the fire, and we'll be able to turn this fire back over to the local agencies.
So where are we at for staffing levels right now? I know there's different phases of this. Is it going up? Is it coming down?
We're still staffed up at pretty high levels. We have a little over 560 personnel actually working on the fire. So we're adequately staffed. We have enough equipment. We are also, you know, one of the things that happens after one of these big lightning storms, you have lightning-caused fires will pop up a day, two, three, even, you know, a few days after that. So we do have crews standing by available to assist with an initial attack. So we are fully staffed.
So it sounds like you're very hopeful this week. Now, there is a potential for some thunderstorms later in the week right now. Those are looking to be more minor, but you never know if it's going to shift again.
It's always a concern. We consulted with our meteorologist who's working with us directly, and he's pretty much of the opinion that this next series of storms will have even more rain associated with them. So with these wet lightning storms, as long as there's that precipitation there, it can quickly douse any lightning-caused fires.
So more rain and less thunder would obviously be a good thing.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to that, and I'm sure the community around the fire is too.
So being up there right now, how many days is it for you at this point?
Let's see. A week ago yesterday, we started dispatching ourselves to the fire. So this would be, what, day nine?
So at this point...
On this particular fire.
Yeah, at this point, then, you're hoping by late in the week that you're probably out of there, right?
We are looking forward to demobilizing our team by the end of the week and heading to our various homes for a well-deserved rest before round two starts.
All right, Kent Romney.
Fire season is,
go ahead.
Sorry, the fire season is not over, and we're still prepared, ready to respond to whatever the needs are in the area.
Yeah, definitely. Well, there's still a lot of lot more on the calendar that could be an impact. Well, Kent Romney, thanks for being on with us today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
1243 inside Douglas County. It'll be a podcast after what at 541radio.com. Part two when we get back with Congresswoman Val Hoyle on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1245, Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow we talk about Saving Grace Pet Adoption Center. 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle on with us now. She was here on Thursday talking about a proposal that she's got in Congress right now regarding emergency communications equipment for Douglas County. Congresswoman, thanks for being on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we weren't able to connect when you were here on Thursday, but we still wanted to spend some time on the topic in the minutes that we have got. Of course, Douglas County has been looking for ways to fund this new equipment, this upgrade. Talk about what you're trying to see to take place at the federal level.
So one of the things that I have focused on since I've been in Congress is making sure that we bring the tax dollars that Oregonians send to D.C. back to do work that really matters in our communities and specifically in our rural communities for first responders. So I've been able to get almost $2 million for emergency communication radio towers for rural community coverage throughout the district. But this particular funding appropriation, which has moved through the House, is for $1.184 million that helps build the Douglas County Emergency Communications Radio system. And this is important because there are parts of Douglas County, specifically northern Douglas County, where there are basically communication where communication can't be heard. So if you're a firefighter, if you're a sheriff and you're out there, there is no way to communicate back to people when they're in trouble. It's the same in Lane County, in Benton County, Curry County, Coos County. So investing in these communications keeps people safe, make sure that when our sheriffs are out on a call where it might be dangerous, that they're able to call in and get help. And when there's fire, we're able to have our first responders call back and let people know what's happening. This is a matter of life and death, and I was very, very proud to be able to get this moving through.
In our first segment, we were talking to one of the fire staff at the Dixon Fire up there by Tiller, and that area in particular, they've talked about just how tricky it is to communicate sometimes. It's definitely an issue around Douglas County. The other part of this is that the technology and how all this works, just like everybody else's technology, has drastically changed, and there comes a point where you can't Band-Aid existing equipment anymore and have it even be functional at all.
Well, that's it. When you think about how long they've been using this technology, you don't even have your laptop for that long, right? Like for 10 years or more. And as technology is changing, also as fire behavior is changing, we have had more fires, more intense fires earlier, and the fire behavior is just different. We have technology, we should use it, and the people that put their lives on the line to protect and serve us deserve our best, and that's what bringing these tax dollars back to our rural communities is all about.
So where are we at in the process of what you're trying to do? I know that it's gotten through committee at this point, right?
Right. So the way the process happens is you have the Appropriations Committee, and where the Republicans are control of the House, and each member puts forward different projects that they think should be funded under the parameters that are laid out. This was picked and moved forward to be voted on. So as soon as we vote on this appropriations bill, the funding for the emergency communications will be included. It then goes to the Senate. And in the Senate, we have a clear path. This is bipartisan. There is no opposition. And it's just a matter of getting these bills through. I fully expect it will be after the election, but before the beginning of the new year. And it's not just exciting, but it's so very important.
So likely we'll then be into the next fiscal year because the government's on an October to October schedule, right?
That's exactly right.
So if that goes through, any idea how soon the county would be able to start moving forward? I mean, obviously, it's a very complex process. This is not like just going and purchasing something at a retail outlet or online.
That is true. And one of the things I have to say about Douglas County and the sheriff's office and the emergency management team is they are very effective at doing a lot with a little. They have less resources for staff, but their planning has been exceptional. They have been really focused. They've gotten everything done that they've needed to do. So I know as soon as we can get the dollars in, they'll be able to implement them and get it on the ground as soon as possible. I mean, in Douglas County, you're whether it's the commissioners or the staff and emergency management, they don't mess about. They just get things done.
Now, is there any potential for getting this passed before the election, or is kind of the workflow that a lot of things are going to wait until we get through the election?
Look, we're going back in September, and I hope that we can vote on some appropriations bill, but we left a week early because there wasn't agreement or the votes, either with just Republicans or in a bipartisan way, for the budgets as they were negotiated. So that's a lot of words to say. I hope we can do it in the 3 weeks we're back in D.C. in September. Likelihood, just getting it through the House and the Senate, is that it will happen after the election, just because there's a limit of time. But I do expect it to happen. And again, there is no opposition at all whatsoever.
Now, is the House or the Senate or both, are you remaining in session in October, or is there a pullback as the folks are out campaigning?
There's a pullback as folks are out campaigning. So we're not in session in October, but we do come back in November after the election.
Now that you've been in a while watching all this process, obviously with your time in Salem, you've been around it, but it's got to be much different than on a statewide level when you look at budgets and the process and the workflow of getting things done.
It is completely different, and I have been able to be successful because what I have found is that if you show up and you work on practical things in a bipartisan way, there's people that will work with you. So, you know, I've already gotten 5 bills passed into law, and that's a lot, given that there were only 27 bills passed into law last year total. But I'm learning the process. We have Jeff Merkley and Ron Wyden, who are very helpful in working with their offices. Also, I have Representative Cliff Bentz, who represents the other part of Douglas County, who's on my Natural Resources Committee. And again, you know, we don't agree on everything, but we work together very well, specifically on wildfire issues. So there are people who have been there, who are very generous with their time and with advice. And we have a very tight Pacific Northwest coalition where we put politics aside when we have to get things done. Also, I had the benefit that many freshmen did not have. When I came in, the majority of Peter DeFazio's staff stayed, so they knew how to do constituent work, which I'll give the pitch. If you're having an issue with a federal agency, Social Security or the VA or the IRS, contact our office, and we are happy to help you with that. But and also people that knew the process on how to get legislation passed. And then Peter DeFazio has been extraordinarily generous in helping me anytime I have a question. So I feel like I had a little extra help that other freshmen didn't have.
Now, you've got your own election race, and we'll save that conversation for another time. But looking ahead, if you return next year, do you have particular priorities you're already thinking about?
Yes. You know, I am going to still focus on working to bring investment to the South Coast and to rural communities. My priority has been the Port of Coos Bay. We're looking at some grants that hopefully will come through, we're hoping, in the next few months. We have to actually deliver on the promise that we have to rural Oregonians when the timber industry crashed, to actually bring back other jobs and strengthen our economy. And then working on preventing wildfires, making sure that we have the resources to fight them, and housing and job training. And those are my four priorities, and those will continue to be my four priorities. So hopefully I'll work very hard to earn the support of the people of the 4th Congressional District to get reelected. And I really appreciate you giving me time to talk about one of the things that I feel most proud of, which is delivering for the people, the first responders in our rural communities.
Just got a minute left, but you mentioned the port, and there seems like a tremendous potential there that not only would impact the coastal area, but as things are shipped inland, could impact a lot of Douglas County as well.
Absolutely. And our farmers and ranchers and manufacturers are very supportive because it gives them quicker and easier access to international markets. This is exciting, and it allows us to be an economic engine. And we'll add up to 8,000 jobs, and that's not a small thing.
All right. 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle, I know a lot going on, and we'll talk as we go through the process here. Now, you're back in the district for how long?
I'm back until the beginning of September, and I've stayed here because, we have a lot of wildfires. There's the DNC convention, which would be fun to go to, but I didn't get elected to represent Chicago or D.C. I got elected to be here when there's things happening. So I'm home making sure we're here doing whatever we can to support our firefighters.
All right, 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle, thanks for being on with us.
All right. Thank you so much.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.